Amen. Well, this morning we're back on managing our emotions after having a couple week break from it. How was your holidays? Did you have a lot of emotions during your holidays? Did you catch yourself not managing them very well at times? Yes. Sometimes when things are hectic and chaotic, it makes us even easier to be caught off balance and, you know, off guard and let our emotions get away from us. And, you know, a lot of it, I think, too, is that we want so much for things to go just right, and then things start messing up and it kind of throws us off and we get off, and then we don't quite recoup and something else happens and we get further off, and before we know it, we're way off in left field someplace doing things we absolutely shouldn't do. But, you know, that's what the holidays do to us. You ever been in a store and watched people fight over toys or clothes or whatever? You know, you understand. Those are emotions, okay? Those are emotions out of control. And there's no management of them, okay? They're just free-for-alling. So, you know, emotions are a pretty busy thing during the holidays. And like we talked about last time, you know, that a lot of times around the holidays, people go through bouts of depression and loneliness and stuff because of different things that happen on the holidays in previous years. And it makes it hard for them on the holidays. So, you know, there's a lot of things like that that go on. So, really, around the holidays, we really have to watch our emotions. And if you manage to make it through this one, well, praise God. You got many more to come yet. Maybe we'll get better each year at how we manage our emotions around this time of year. We're going to start out this morning in Isaiah chapter 61, verse 7. And basically, it's about the justice of God and pretty much taking us from sin to salvation. And it says, instead of your shame, your former shame, you shall have a twofold recompense. Instead of dishonor and reproach, your people shall rejoice in their portion. Therefore, in their land they shall possess double what they had forfeited. Everlasting joy shall be theirs. Now, the word recompense means repayment, okay? So, when the prophet says that the Lord will recompense us for our shame, dishonor, and reproach, he means that God's going to make it up to us for all the hurts, all the bad, all the things that we've experienced in our life that have not been beneficial to us. Okay, the Bible says that, beloved, never avenge yourselves, but leave the way open for God's wrath. For it's written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, says the Lord. That's Romans 12:19. Now, the reason I bring that out is because a lot of times what people do is they get so focused on things that people do to them that they get so focused on getting them back or getting even or whatever you want to call it that they forget about God in the equation, okay? This is when their emotions are in control, okay? So if you're ever holding a grudge against somebody, want to get back, get even with somebody, check your emotions because you're out of sync with God. Because if you were in sync with God, you would know that the vengeance is His. It isn't for us to revenge ourselves. It's for us to turn the other cheek and forgive and for God to repay, okay? And to take the vengeance out. Now, you know, I have to say that a lot of times, God does not do things the way we would do them, okay? Where we'd like to see Him just bash Him over the head and get it done with, that's not the way God's going to handle it. So just because you don't see things happening the way you think they should happen for repayment, don't believe for a moment that God isn't taking care of it. He may be doing things that you can't even see in the natural, okay, that are affecting this person and hurting them in places that you can't even know about. But it is happening, okay? So he will bring the scales of justice into balance. But a lot of times, rather than trusting God to do this for us, we try to do it ourselves. You know what happens when we do it ourselves, don't you? We make a huge mess out of things. You know, it's like the little song we used to have hanging. If you want to hear God laugh, just tell Him about your plans. Because our plans are so silly. You know, our plans just make no sense whatsoever. When the Bible talks about recompense or justice, it simply means that you and I are going to get what's right for us. You know, it's none of our business what happens to that person. What we need to know that no matter what happens to us in life, that God's going to take care of us. And he's going to make sure that those people get what's theirs. Okay? It's not our place to tell him how to do that. It's not our place to be the observer to make sure that it gets done. Okay? Because a lot of times we're so caught up in making sure that God's taking care of things that we miss blessings and stuff that are coming before us and that are keeping us bound. So when he talks about justice and stuff, we have to know that God's going to take care of us. Okay? God's going to make sure in the end that we get more than what we deserve. If what we lose, what he said, we're going to get it twofold back. So if you forfeit 10 cows, you're going to get 20 cows back. Your car, if you forfeit your car, you're going to get 2. You know, if you give away 20, you're going to get 40. You know what I'm saying? So it doesn't matter. And, you know, and that's also biblical with the laws of giving is when you freely give, you will freely get back. But when you hoard to yourself, you close yourself down to any of those blessings because you won't open up that giving. So, you know, and these are our emotions, once again, that keep us from getting there. Because our emotions will tell us, you can't afford to do that. You know, if you do that, you're going to have this, this, and this that you got to pay for. And you're not going to be able to pay for that if you help them with that. And stuff. And they'll have all this doubt, non-belief, and all this emotional garbage flowing through our thoughts if we let them. What we need to do is say, nope, I know that God will take care of me, and I'm just going to do it. Okay, so now, has blood bought children of God? We know that as long as we trust in the Lord and are obedient to Him, and we're repentant of our sins and failures, we will not get what is coming to us in the form of punishment for our sins. Okay, because we've been saved by His blood, by what He did on the cross. So has His blood bought children? Our sins are now covered, and we don't have to pay for that, okay? Now, let me tell you, though, even though you're not going to pay the full price that you would have paid if you hadn't repented and come to know the Lord, there are consequences to things. Just because your actions set them in motion, then there's no way to stop them. So you will pay to some degree, it's just that you'll get through it with more grace. Okay? It won't hurt quite as bad. You know, it's like having a tooth pulled with and without the Novocaine. Okay? One really hurts like the devil. The other one you tolerate. Okay? And this is what the difference is. Now, you know, if we want God's mercy to be on us, then we need to let God use His mercy however He chooses on those who wrong us. Because, you know, sometimes people wrong us, and then in the way that we react to them wronging us changes something in them, and that's their turning point to coming back to Christ or coming to Christ for the first time. So, you know, they may get radically saved before God ever dishes out any form of punishment. And you know something? That's none of our business. Because they're washed and bought by the same blood that we were. And God, when I came to Christ, I didn't want Him to beat me over the head with everything I did the day before. Or even the week or year before. Okay? So, you know, the Bible says that He's going to take care of us. Yeah. And it's true. Any place you go, that's the case. You know, people all work at different productivities. And, you know, some are more productive than others, but they all get paid the same. Because, you know, that's the agreement between them and the boss. And, you know, whether they have good ethics and do what they're supposed to do for that money or not is a different story. And that's... Yeah. And, you know, and Jesus took our punishment, and we get His inheritance. Do you understand that? He took that punishment. He took all that stuff on the cross so that we could share His inheritance with Him. And, you know, that's love. That's grace. That's mercy. And, you know, and we're not to really judge other people by what God decides to give or not give them. You know, I often hear Christians say, well, I don't know why God's blessing them with that stuff. I've been doing this, this, and this, and this, and this, and he hasn't blessed me yet. Well, maybe that's why. Because you're telling everybody what you're doing. Because you're discontent and you're spouting that garbage everywhere you go. That could be too, because sometimes unanswered prayers are some of the best because we really don't want what we're asking for. You know, it's just the way it goes. So, you know, God has his own system, his own way of doing things. We can't tell him how to do things. He's the master of the house. He's the father, and he gets to rule, okay? And if he decides that he's going to punish me, but let Shirley get away with it, I got to be good with that. You know, there was times when I was growing up that all three of us girls were guilty, but only one of us took the blame. You know, because they were the one that got caught. And we were all good with that. Because at least all three of us didn't have to suffer. You know what I'm saying? And I mean, but it was a joint thing. You know, the one that got it for the team was okay with that too, because at least the other two didn't have to suffer. You know what I'm saying? So, you know, that's the way it is, and that's the way we have to be as the body of Christ. We got to be willing to take one for the team sometimes and let them get away with it. Because, you know, that's just what we do as children of God. Does everything we do make sense? Oh, God, no. You know, I find that when I'm trying to explain Christianity and believing the things I believe in to some people, that they're totally dumbfounded and confused. And what's confusing them is the simplicity. It's not that it's so hard to understand, it's that they can't believe that's what we do. You know what I'm saying? They can't believe that you do what and they're what? You know what I'm saying? Yeah, that's what we do. I'd kick them. Well, yeah, you might, but I can't do that. You know, and it's the simplicity of it. I mean, because think about it. Really, when we look at what we do to one another, we need to treat each other with the same grace, the same mercy, the same compassion, the same love that Christ treats us. And that doesn't mean that we bash you up alongside the head and kick you to the curb, even though we feel like it some days. As you know, Jesus feels like doing that to us some days, as he gets tired of our stuff too. Okay, so we just need to know that he is out there, and he is balancing those scales. Don't let our emotions get in the way. Okay, just be calm. Remember, it's his deal, not yours. He can play the game any way he wants to, okay? Because he knows the big picture. You don't. He may know what he did to that guy's heartstrings after what happened, okay? And you're oblivious. So you let God do his work, and you worry about yours, okay? So then in Psalms 37, verses 1 and 2, they say, "Fret not yourselves because of evil doers, neither be envious against those who work unrighteousness, which is not upright or right standing with God." That's what that means, upright, unrighteousness. So, "For they shall soon be cut down like grass, and wither as a green herb." Okay, so why are we worried about them? You know, I'm guilty of this myself. I can't believe it. Are they that evil? Yeah, because it's just like, why doesn't God take care of them? How much damage can they do before God cuts them off? You know, we all know people that we've said that about. How much is God going to allow? Guess what? You need to be quiet. It's none of your business. Just need to know that God is taking care of things, and you need to trust him with all things and know that he's handling it. You know, for 3 months, I cried that out every day just about going to work. I screamed at God, "How long are you going to wait? How soon? Soon? It ain't soon enough. I'm telling you now. Yesterday wasn't soon enough." You know? Yeah, I mean, you know? What'd you do all that stuff for if you're not going to use your power? You know? We do that. That's our emotions. Okay? That's how we get to feeling. We get all in our emotions and we want them to work now. Our way. The way we want it to happen. And it can't do it that way. That's what causes people to go steal their own children. No, honey. Everybody has a touch of that impatience thing. Yes, in one way or the other. What we have to know is that we are supposed to be full of the love of God. Okay? And it's supposed to be shed abroad in the hearts by the Holy Spirit. Okay? Romans 5:5 says, we don't want anyone to be cut down and wither. Even those who have harmed us. And I don't know exactly where it's at, but I know darn well that it also tells us in the Bible that we should not rejoice over others when they get theirs. That we should actually cry out to them for mercy. Okay? So even though they've done you wrong, you should not be joyful when you see them get their comeuppance. That isn't your place. Now you're as bad as they are. And you need to be smacked too. It's true. Because that's how we get. Because of our emotions. And you know, we can't have love for one another if we're waiting to see you get zapped. I'm sorry, I can't love you and be waiting for God to drop the hammer on you. Yeah, there's something wrong with that picture. All right? That's being two-faced if I'm treating you one way and hoping that God gets you in my own head. Okay? What God has promised us who belong to Him and follow Him is that those who hurt us will pay one day for their transgressions against us. Unless they come to a place of repentance. Okay? Remember the story my mom tells all the time about my dad getting saved and her being upset because he now got everything she got and she'd been serving him all this time and he'd been so bad and that just made her mad. We feel the same way. And we're honest about it. It's like at work, I've been working there for 15 years and I made myself up to this nice little sum an hour and I thought I was doing pretty good until about a couple months ago when we were standing in line at the bank and we had one of those situations like Nancy where we got our little bonus thing and instead of getting what we were expecting, we got less, and then they really taxed the dickens out of it, and it was like twice the tax that they normally take out of our money, and we were all going, what happened here? Is this an error? This has to be a mistake, right? You know, and everyone was wanting to know, well, why? Why is it because they changed the laws, and it could no longer be given to us as a money-sharing thing. It had to be given to us as a bonus. And bonuses now have to be double-taxed. Okay? So it's like, okay. So you just took and you cut my Christmas spending money down even more. And, you know, we get upset. But, you know, it's really not their fault. They can't do anything about it. They have to stay within the laws and regulations. So why are we getting upset with them? You know, every year they tell us, don't plan on this. You know, don't bet this is coming in. Because some year it may not be there, and we don't want you counting on it. But yet, if you'd heard those people when they got their checks and looked at them, you would have thought someone slit their throats. As they depended on it that much. Now, I had told my kids and stuff, look, it's going to be slight. It's all going to depend on what we get or don't get. We don't get nothing. You ain't getting nothing either. Okay? And when I saw the check, I went, ooh, that hurts. But, okay, I told them that if there ain't much, they ain't get much. So I ain't worried about it. We'll just get through and we'll have a good Christmas. And it was amazing what I managed to do with that money. You know? And I didn't feel like I cut anyone short or anything else. Now, I didn't spend outside of the family like I normally would, but the family got taken care of. So, you know, God promises us things. Oh, but I missed the point of my story. As I found out because of that check thing, I was standing in bank with a girl who was only been there a year. And she had gotten in trouble about 6 months into her thing and had been written up for it and everything. And 6 months later, she got promoted. Now, in her promoted position, she makes the same amount I do. I've been there 15 years. She's been there one. Now, do you understand how I could be upset about that? But I can't complain because I agreed to start for the money I was being paid, and I got my increment raises along the way, and I got my promotion raises along the way, and the cost of increase raises along. I can't complain. Heck, the people coming in the door are making three-something more an hour than I did when I came in. So that automatically puts them up that much higher than I did coming in. So, you know, the thing is, that is the agreements that we make. And sometimes we don't think they quite suit us after a while, okay? But we can't change up because it's not our call. It's God's call, and God's going to call things the way he sees them. And if he thinks you're deserving of a little blessing, you're going to get a little blessing. He thinks you're deserving of a big blessing, you're going to get a big blessing. He may think you ain't deserving of nothing, but he's still going to bless you anyhow. Yeah, it's his call. And it's not for you and I to sit around and judge other people because of what they're being blessed or not blessed in. Sometimes people are doing everything they know to do and God still isn't blessing them or giving them what they need because there's one thing hanging them up. And it could be their complaining and unbelief that God's going to come through. So, you know, you have to understand that in order for God to work in your life, you have to believe. You might as well throw all the other knowledge out the window if you don't believe. If you really don't trust him, you can't give it all to him and just say, whatever happens, Lord, I'm in it for the long haul, you know, then you might as well throw the rest of it out because it means nothing. You have to be willing to believe. You have to be willing to give it all away. You have to be willing to live on a shoestring. You have to be willing to go wherever he takes you and do whatever he tells you to do, regardless of how uncomfortable you feel about it. Yep. Yeah. And that's the way it is. It's like the prophecies that we get. He says, if you do this, then I'll do this. And we forget that if we do this part, you know, we just want what he promised. There are conditions. We need to earn things. And by all means, don't think you can earn your salvation. You can't. You can give every cent you own. But if you don't believe, if you don't truly believe and serve God, it's all for nothing. So, you know, God's going to make everything up to us if we can trust in him to do so. The biggest thing is that trust. And that trust comes only when you believe. If you don't believe in him, you can't trust him. So, if you're not trusting him, how much are you really believing? Okay? People I trust, I believe them do a lot of things, okay? I believe that when they say things, they're going to do them. I believe that, you know, if we arrange to do something together, they're going to show up. I believe that if they say they're going to bring something, they're going to bring it. Whatever, I believe in them because they're good for their word. And, you know, God's good for his word, too. But you have to believe. So too often believers don't seem to realize that they're not to take matters into our own hands. Many of us are angry, okay, about what's been done to us. And that anger will manifest itself in very destructive ways. And it's more destructive to you than it is to others. Don't take me wrong, it will affect others around you, but it will destroy you. That anger and sometimes the hatred that comes along with it and all the other destructive feelings that come along with it. And what am I saying? You've lost control of your emotions and you need to regain control of those emotions, as if not, it will destroy you. People have been destroyed because of unforgiveness. People have been destroyed because they couldn't let go of something. You know, my God, how many years have to go by before you let it go? I don't even hold a grudge. I'd be mad at you now, and 10 minutes from now, I forget what we were arguing about, and I treat you just like I treat you any other time. Because it ain't worth holding on to. I don't want the ulcers from it, thank you. And I ain't got enough time to focus on it. I got too many other things to focus on besides whether or not I'm going to let go of what I'm aggravated at you about. Because the point of it is I probably won't even know what it was 2-3 hours from now. I probably won't even be able to tell you why I was upset. And it's because we got caught in our emotions. And if you let them control you, they will destroy you. You know, you have to understand that into every life a little rain must fall. Okay? Every life needs a little sorrow. Without the sorrow, you would never really appreciate the joy and happiness that God brings you. You would never have the compassion that you need to reach out to others if you've never been there yourself. Yeah, and it will. And, you know, that's why we really have to manage our emotions. Because when we manage our emotions, we choose how we're going to behave. And when we choose how we're going to behave, we're affirming how we feel about things. We're saying, I'm sorry, I believe that God says this is how I need to act. And this is how I'm going to act. I don't care how it looks to you people. You know, and, you know, sometimes when you get to the argument with people, what happens if the end comes and there is no heaven? There is no hell. You've done all this for what? Well, my pat answer is, hey, and if that's the case, then I ain't missing out on nothing because I enjoy the way I live. I'm satisfied with the way I live. My life will be fulfilled as I'm living it. I don't feel like I've lost anything. I've been a good person throughout my lifetime, even if there is no... But there is one, so I'm not worried about it. But I'm saying, you know, and they're like, I just can't believe that you would even do that. Yeah, but you're the one that's not sure that it exists. You're the one that doesn't believe in my Savior. You know, God didn't just build us a stone statue to bow down before. God gave us His flesh and blood Son. He sent us the Holy Spirit. He gave us something that we can feel, that's touchable, that's seeable, that's feelable. It's not some piece of stone or wood that's carved by man. It was something that was wrought out of God's own heart. And He sent it here so it could be destroyed for us. And you know, really, if you stop and think about what prayer actually does when people get together in agreement and pray, you have to know there's a power behind that. When you've been in so many close calls as I have, and know that my angels are there working overtime for me, you have to know there's somebody out there that cares. When you have interventions along the way, and things that should happen that never happen, and things that you never expect to happen that do, there's got to be someone out there that's batting for you. There has got to be somebody out there that you can believe in. But you have to actually get to that place where you believe. Because until you believe, really believe, you aren't going to trust Him. And I've got to tell you, you can believe 75% of the way and still get something happening. You can believe 50% of the way and still see things happen. You can still, you know, get things to happen at 99% of the way. But 100%, it's all wonderful. Okay, I ain't even up to 100% believe, but I know that I know that I know that I know that I know. And nobody's going to tell me anything different, okay? I don't understand it all, no. But I know what I've experienced in my life. I know what I have felt. I know what I've felt like. And nobody can take that from me. Nobody can tell me that didn't exist, that that didn't happen, that those healings that took place I didn't witness, you know, or didn't experience for myself. Or those miracles that took place didn't happen within people that I know it to be a fact, not somebody's fake little makeup thing to get you tricked into believing. These are the things that I base my beliefs on. These are the things that keep me hanging in there when all I want to do is let go. As I tell you, some mornings, especially after driving up north in the morning, I just would like to stretch out somewhere after that long ride and do. But instead, I come in here. We have this class. Because I don't let my emotions keep me down. I don't let my emotions dictate to me what I'm going to do. You're hurting, just stay here. No, I'm hurt and I'm going anyhow. I can hurt there as well as here. You're sick. You don't want to go and spread that to everybody else. No, you're only making me feel bad because you don't want me to go and I'm going anyhow. You know, you're so tired. You shouldn't be driving behind the wheel. You know, you'll have Isaiah in the car with you. Yeah, and God will keep me awake. He has before. You know, his angels are on alert and they will make sure I arrive safely. There and back. You know, I mean, it's amazing the day after New Year's. I was so blessed and tired. I was so dead tired because I had so little sleep before I made the trip. And it was amazing. I woke up and I was concerned about it. I woke up, I was chipper, right, bushy-tailed. I drove that whole way up, whole way back by myself. The other party slept in the back seat the whole way. And I was as awake as I've ever been making that trip. I didn't get fatigued. I didn't was tired. My eyes didn't bother me, nothing. It was just like middle of the day. So, you know, God can be there for you in anything, even the littlest of things. You need strength. You need some, you know, to keep going. God can give it to you. You just have to believe. He says he can give you anything that you believe for. So what do you believe for? What do you actually believe in enough that you know it's going to happen? Because really, that's where it's at. What do you believe? I believe I'm going to be sitting somewhere in a church until the day I die. That's what I believe. You know, what do you believe? That's where we're going to stop this morning.